joy to the world. Right? That's our closing song today, just a little preview. We already had one preview in our call to worship. It's kind of nice sometimes to speak the words in these really common songs, and you hear them a little bit differently. Joy to the world, because the world is where joy needs to be. Right? This joy is an earthly joy. It might be an earthy joy, too. I'm not going to go there yet today, but it is earthly. It takes place in the realm where you and I live and breathe and work, have families and jobs, if we're lucky, and struggle every day. And it's about the struggle of being human that sometimes really begs the word of good news, joy to the world. And the good news is not some idealistic, wishful thinking thing. As we hear these words of the prophet Isaiah, it's real life, real world good news for people who need it. The bearer of good news is sometimes known as an angel, which is why she, it. That's a whole other conversation to have, by the way. There really aren't, you know, we have this idea that angels are women, you know, in most of the artwork it is, but in most of the biblical references, they have male names anyway. They're not human anyway, and that's a whole other conversation too. But what is an angel? An angel literally is somebody who brings good news. If you ever have heard the word evangelist, and you think, ooh, what? Because we have this idea of tele-evangelist. But really, an evangelist, in the strict sense of the word, is you can see the word angel. If you write the word evangel out, it's just the word angel with E-V in front of it. And that E-V is from the Greek word good. So it's good news. It's someone who brings good news. So an angel brings good news. And the angel's part in the Christmas story, you might remember, is usually appears to, a couple of places. One, when you study the Annunciation to Mary, that's where we get the angel Gabriel. And he breaks the news to Mary that she's going to have a boy, a God boy. Overwhelming news, to say the least. Good news? Yeah. The real good news comes when she proclaims to the shepherds out in their pastures, you know, go to Jerusalem, or to Bethlehem, and see what God has done. I bring you tidings of good joy, great joy. So this is what angels do. And the reason I sang that song about angels hovering around is because I wanted to remind you that there are angels hovering around. There are always angels hovering around. They're hovering around in our art, our visual images here in worship. Where else are they hovering around? This is a quiz. Yeah, right. They were in and out of the pews, gathering money. Yeah. Those faces of theirs, they were bringing tidings of great joy, right? And through their work and our work, we will bring good news to the poor and the hungry. Real world good news. Where else are the angels hovering around? In the choir. Thank you. Others? They're everywhere. Yes. They're there, and sometimes we don't see them. Mostly we don't see them. You have to really open your eyes. It's kind of like the news thing. You really have to have eyes to see this kind of stuff. I want to say that angels are more than a figment of your imagination. They are more than imaginary. They're more than fictional characters. And I don't want to get into, you know, let's have a History Channel special on angels and how they're real. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these angels, the angels that are hovering around, bringing good news. That's what angels do. They bring good news. A couple couple of different ways I'll name specifically. In the gospel lesson for today, the third Sunday of Advent, often you'll meet John the Baptist, not necessarily out in the wilderness, although that's we tend to meet him there. But in today's story, the disciples of John the Baptist, he sends them to go talk to Jesus. And he says, with a very particular question, it's an interesting question that we ought to ask every Advent. The question is, are you the one who is to come? In other words, are you the Messiah? So John the Baptist, he's in jail, actually. He's in prison. He's been imprisoned. Not unlike Nelson Mandela, he's been imprisoned wrongfully. And unlike Nelson Mandela, he will die there, too. But so he is in prison, and he doesn't know if his work has been done yet, if Jesus is, in fact, the one who is to come. And do you know what Jesus, what word he sends back with those disciples back to John the Baptist? Anybody know that? Another quiz here. Well, if you grew up in choir like I did and you sang spirituals, you might have sung a spiritual, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, everything that's listed there in Isaiah. So Isaiah has this vision of what it'll look like when the Messiah comes. And so John the Baptist wants to know, are you the Messiah? And what's the answer? The answer is out of Isaiah 35, and it's out of the very life and ministry of Jesus. He says, go and tell John what you see and hear. The lame walk, the blind see, the poor have good news preached to them. Others have their burdens lifted. It's the good news. So the disciples of John the Baptist become angels, interestingly. Jesus sends them. He says, go and tell. And anybody who has this job of going and telling is an angel. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The hungry have food provided for them. Here's another one that's real particular that I'm really struck by in this Isaiah passage. I have to read it to be reminded of it. It comes right after this sort of, I don't know what to call it, bodily encouragement. Strengthen your weak knees. Make firm, your weak hands make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Do you know anybody with a fearful heart? I do. And what do you say? Go and say to this person, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. I've been around some people this week who aren't feeling the love of the season. I'll just put it that way. There are a lot of people out there. This season can be very challenging for people with mental illness, depression, seasonal depression, people who have lost loved ones, you know, people who are celebrating their first Christmas. All you have to do is just bring to mind Gail Holmes, 64 years married to Shirley, and he'll be sitting around a Christmas tree by himself this year. A lot of people like that. Not necessarily a fearful heart. That doesn't necessarily describe them, but brokenhearted people, people who are depressed or all of this singing and music and joy around them, and it just seems to drive home loneliness for them. They're just not feeling it. They walk the mall and feel despair. You and I might walk the mall and, oh, look at that. You know, it's a little bit of lift, and it's like, ah. Oh. Yeah, like Eeyore. Oh, there goes another party. Eeyore is a great character to sort of epitomize that, and I don't mean to make light of it, but I did. I just made light of it, so I apologize for that. But really what I'm talking about here is the season of joy and praise that the choir just elated about is very challenging to people. It's ironic to me that this is the third Sunday of Advent, and it always comes, you know, as you're moving closer to Christmas, This joy day is almost always on the same week of the winter solstice, December 21st. And a lot of churches will have a blue Christmas. At Plymouth, you can go on Monday, tomorrow night, and go to a blue Christmas at 7 o'clock. And it's a church service that specifically targets people who are mourning or depressed or, like I say, are not feeling the joy of the season. And it's a service of comfort. It's a service of lament. It's a service that acknowledges that fearful heart. And hopefully, it's a way to say to those people, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. So, there are angels hovering around when we remember that there are people who are not excited about the season, who aren't surrounded by family. You know, this is another thing about this season is it really tends to highlight people who don't have family, or people who are estranged from family, or people who, for the first time, are away from family, right? Very challenging, very challenging. So what is our work? Ours is the work of the angels to all those people. To go to them and to say, take heart. Do not be afraid. Here is your God. And I don't know, when you say here is your God to somebody, what are you saying? What are you offering them? Anybody have hope? Reassurance? Yeah. Okay, something beyond themselves. Yeah. That's why I like the angel as an image, a metaphor, if you will, a real presence, or an imaginary presence. I don't care. I have a friend who says, you know, this, talking about faith or or some spiritual practice, you know, the neat thing about this is if you believe in it, it works. And if you don't believe in it, it works anyway. I love that. I don't care if you believe in angels or not. It works to think, just imagine that there are angels behind you. My piano teacher reminds me of Judith a lot, by the way. Judith reminds me of my piano teacher. She saw angels. She saw things. And she told me one night when I was at my lesson, she saw my angel. She believed that everybody had a guardian angel. And she said, Paul, your guardian angel is huge. He's like, she said he passed by the door of her house, and he's like, he was as big as the pine trees outside. And you know what that did to me? That made me feel like I could go out and kick some butt or just, you know, live life to the max or whatever. Like, I had no fear. Was it real? It was real to my piano teacher, and she gave me that little, like, oh, yeah. So it doesn't matter if it's real or not. What matters is that it works to actually imagine that you have forces at work in your life. They got your back. They got your back. They're with you. They surround you. There's a beautiful poem by Mark Doty. I'm not going to read the whole poem. It's just too long, but someday I really want to craft a worship service around this poem. It's about angels. And he envisions an angel around the bed of his partner who's dying of AIDS. And it's just a very moving thing to imagine this presence. And then to let that presence work, right? So the imagination is a very powerful thing. It's the same thing that, you know, it's not a far stretch to go from imagination to faith, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the belief in things you can't see. That's kind of like your imagination. And I imagine angels hovering around. And they got my back. And they've got yours too. And what if somebody stood here and told you that your community, this faith community, has angels? I'd like to conjure up the spirit of my piano teacher and see if she can see what she can see around here. How big are the angels? They're huge, right? They're bigger than that pine tree out there. So believe it and act accordingly. There are angels hovering around, and they're bringing good news. And their work is our work. So let's do it.